How's it going, everybody? It's been a couple weeks since I posted. I was on vacation, but I'm back with some stuff to review. I have three movies I'm going to be reviewing. The Forever Purge, which I saw the longest ago, I guess you could say. Furthest point in time from, you know, starting to make this episode and record reviews. I might be doing like a Purge movie tier list at some point, or like a ranking, but that might be a little bit further down the line. I have a lot of things to watch and a lot of other ideas, but I'll also be reviewing the new Amazon Prime Video original film starring Chris Pratt called The Tomorrow War, as well as the newest installment of the Marvel Cinematic Universe Black Widow. Very excited to talk about that one. I'll also be reviewing the fifth episode of Loki, so stay tuned for that. I know the next episode's only coming in like a day from when this is going to be posted, but yeah, hope you guys enjoyed the episode. It's a little bit shorter of one, but I'm sure there'll be an even longer episode next week, so let's get into this episode.
It's 106 miles to Chicago. We got a full tank of gas, half a pack of cigarettes, it's dark, and we're wearing sunglasses. Hit it.
And the first thing I'm going to talk about today, I usually save the like big titles for the last, however many minutes of the episode, but I'm going to do it right off the bat, and I'm going to start with my review for Black Widow. Black Widow is a 2021 film and the latest installment of the Marvel Cinematic Universe, and stars Scarlett Johansson as Natasha Romanoff, Florence Pugh as Yelena Belova, David Harbour as Alexei, and Rachel Weisz as Melina. It's directed by Kate Shortland, screenplay by Eric Pearson, who worked on Thor Ragnarok, Godzilla vs. Kong, Agent Carter, as well as Detective Pikachu, Avengers Endgame, and Avengers Infinity War, Spider-Man Homecoming, Ant-Man, and Pacific Rim Uprising. The story is by Jack Schaefer, who wrote or had a hand in writing the WandaVision series, as well as Ned Benson. This film, where I'd rank it in terms of my tier list, if you go back however many episodes and listen to my MCU tier list, I'd put this at about a B. I don't think it's the best of the Marvel franchise, but I also don't think it's the worst. Gotta tell you, when I was in the theaters watching this, it was really weird to see the Marvel Studios logo come up on the big screen. It's something I haven't seen since 2019, since we got Spider-Man Far From Home. So it's definitely weird to be back in the movies watching a Marvel film. But I embraced it. I had fun with it. I think the action in this film was really good. Also, the characters I really liked and the actors that portrayed them, as well as just the story overall. Basically, in this film, it takes place in between Civil War and Infinity War. So after the events of Civil War, with Natasha helping out Bucky and Captain America and violating the Sokovia Accords, she is now on the run and in hiding. And she meets back up with her quote-unquote family, Yelena, Alexei, Melina, and is trying to take down the Red Room, which is basically this organization that creates these highly trained spy assassins that they call Black Widows. Pretty straightforward plot, but this movie does have a lot of heart, and like the amount of comedy they have in it, they use it sparingly, but at the same time, like whenever there is comedy, it works. The comedy aspects come from Natasha and Yelena having their somewhat sisterly bond. They have some funny moments there, but most of the comedy comes from Alexei, played by David Harbour, who also goes by the name The Red Guardian, which is basically the Russian version of Captain America. Yeah, a lot of the comedy came from him. I just love the interaction between all four of these characters. Rachel Weisz was kind of put on the back burner for pretty much the whole movie. And I also have to say that Scarlett Johansson as Natasha Romanoff didn't quite feel like the star of this film. It felt more like Florence Pugh as Yelena Belova was the star of this film, which I didn't mind because I really liked that character. But at the same time, after all this time we've been waiting for a Black Widow film, it feels like somewhat of a cop-out that Natasha didn't have as big of a part. I mean, she still was the main, the heart of the movie, I felt like. But the amount of scenes we really got from her, I don't know, I was a little disappointed by. But at the same time, I really enjoyed this movie. Again, the action was great. The characters were great. I liked the story overall. It was a little bit generic in terms of, the story about this Red Room organization and the Black Widows. But I thought the execution worked really well. I was, however, disappointed by the Taskmaster reveal, which I will not talk about currently because this is my non-spoiler review. But I'm definitely disappointed by that. But overall, again, I really did enjoy this movie and I would definitely watch it again, which says a lot because I watch a lot of new movies. I also watch a lot of older movies that I haven't seen. I'm constantly watching things that are new to me. So for me to go back and watch something is typically really rare. But yeah, I would probably give this movie an 8.5 out of 10. Before, I would probably give it a 9 to 9.5. But now, since it's been a handful of hours since I watched it, I've had time to really think about it. It's not a perfect film, but it's better than some films that I can think of right off the top of my head in the MCU, like Iron Man 2, Thor The Dark World, and The Incredible Hulk. I really do not like those movies too much. Iron Man 2 isn't the worst, but it is better than Thor The Dark World and The Incredible Hulk, in my opinion. But it's still kind of at that, C to D tier for me. But yeah, I would definitely put this one in the B tier. It felt a lot different from a lot of the other Marvel films. It was a lot darker, a lot more serious, but at the same time, they know how to balance the seriousness with the humor. Just off of the first 10 minutes, this film just felt a lot darker. Feels a lot different from your normal, typical Marvel movie. And now that I have my general review right off the bat here, I'm gonna get into some spoilers. So if you don't want to hear any of that, skip ahead I'd say 8 minutes. If you don't want to hear any spoilers, you've been warned. I'm gonna get into that right now. So I want to talk about right off the bat the Taskmaster reveal. At first I was fine with it, but looking back on it, I'm really disappointed because Taskmaster is a really great character. And I think they wasted that character's potential by having the reveal of that character being Dreykov's daughter, which Dreykov in the film, is the leader of the Red Room. And the daughter is someone that Natasha tried to kill. But I guess she unsuccessfully killed Dreykov and his daughter. So, yeah. At first, I didn't mind the reveal. I would have hoped that it would have been at least somebody we already knew or a brand new character, which it was. But at the same time, I thought it was heartbreaking. But also, I think it could have been a little bit better if we had this villain going forward. I think that it would have been a really interesting villain to see more of. And, Taskmaster just really didn't play a huge part in this movie at all. Not to say that it ruined the movie for me, but it definitely took it down by some points for sure. Again, Taskmaster is such a great villain in the comics and the games, just all around a really interesting character, the way he mimics, different moves, different fight styles of different characters and heroes. And I think we could have gotten a lot more with that. Maybe not just in this film, but like in films or TV going forward. But hey, it's fine. You know, it happened. I'll live with it. But the other reveal, there's not really a whole lot to spoil here. But another reveal are the post-credit scenes. Like, the post-credit scene where Natasha gets basically the Quinjet from Mason, played by O.T. Fagbino. Hopefully I'm saying that right. She got that, had the blonde hair, and was basically going off to do some shit and basically be on the run with Captain America and then leading into Infinity War, which I thought that was cool, you know, kind of just acknowledging where she's going from the point at the end of this movie. And then the after credits scene with Yelena Belova visiting Natasha's grave, and then Val showing up, Val from The Falcon and the Winter Soldier, who, recruited, John Walker, aka U.S. Agent, aka Captain America, recruited him to be part of what I'm assuming is going to be the Dark Avengers going forward. So if you don't know anything about the Dark Avengers, they're basically the Avengers team that isn't afraid to get their hands dirty. And by dirty, I mean like bloody. But yeah, it seems like she's going to be a part of that going forward, which slightly disappoints me because I felt her character going on a more heroic side. But I guess I'm okay with her still like killing and stuff like that. I just would have preferred her to kind of replace Black Widow in the sense of like, you know, Black Widow started off as a trained assassin, but over time she became, you know, the kind of person who would rather not kill and not embrace that side of her because she's trying so hard to let go of the past and let go of the person she used to be. But I guess the events of this film kind of made her have to change a little bit. So I don't know. One thing I thought was really funny is how they talked about her hero pose. That was pretty funny, where she was like on the ground, pretty much flips her hair back. I thought that was a funny moment with her and Florence Pugh as Yelena. Overall, really loved Florence Pugh in this film and can't wait to see her going forward. It seems like she's going to be going after Clint Barton, aka Hawkeye, now, which I'm very excited to see. Not a whole lot else to say, and also I kind of just want to wrap it up so I'm not talking any spoilers to the people that skipped ahead. Don't know how much time I have here. But, I really did enjoy this movie and would highly recommend it. It may not be your favorite out of all the Marvel movies, but it was a really solid entry for sure. And I would definitely watch it again. Yeah, just those things of Natasha not being basically the star of her own movie and having these side characters be more in the focus hurt it a little bit, as well as the Taskmaster reveal. But those are things I can get past, essentially. I can live with those things. And at the end of the day, I really did enjoy this movie for what it was. So, trying to think if there's anything else I want to say. Not really. So, there's my review for 2021's Black Widow, the latest installment of the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Again, it's been such a long time since we've had a Marvel movie, so it feels really weird to be back in the theaters watching it. But yeah, there's my review, and let's head on to the next thing. Loki Episode 5. So this episode is titled Journey into Mystery. Non-spoiler review right off the bat. I like this episode, but it's not my favorite. I would say my favorites are probably like 1 and 2, but this one is kind of on the same level of episode 3 to me. I'm sure a lot of people won't agree, but it's slightly better than episode 3, which I actually liked. But with this one, I just think they were trying to jam too many things into it and didn't have enough time to slow down and just, like, actually get to know the characters that it introduced in this episode. But overall, pretty visually entertaining and stunning and action-packed, as well as just really just full of Easter eggs. Like, I'm sure there's a lot that I missed, but I got quite a few, and a lot of it just, like, kind of not blew my mind, but just made me go, wow, this is cool. Wow. But, yeah, what can I really say without giving anything away here? Other than what I already said, there's not a whole lot to say. I wish that we could have spent more time with the characters that I introduced in this episode, but unfortunately you didn't get a whole lot of them, I feel like. I mean, you got a good amount, but it's nothing that they're gonna have going forward, I feel like. At least for, like, 2 of the characters. But for 1 of them, I could see them doing more with that character, and I would like to see them do more with that character. But, yeah, pretty solid episode. Lots of Easter eggs and just the way it connects things and the ideas that it contributes to the series overall, I really enjoyed. So, yeah, pretty solid episode. Not my favorite, but still pretty solid. Now, spoiler review. So if you don't want spoilers, skip ahead, like, I don't know, 8 minutes or so. Let's just be safe and call it 10, because I might have a bit to say on this, but yeah, you've been warned. I'm going to get into some spoiler territory now. So, yeah, the 3 characters, well, 4 characters, really, that were introduced, Classic Loki, Kid Loki, Boastful Loki, and Alligator Loki. Classic Loki is being played by Richard E. Grant, Kid Loki is played by Jack Veal, and Boastful Loki is played by Diobia Apare. Hopefully I'm saying that right, probably not, but overall, I liked Kid Loki a lot, and I also like Classic Loki. Boastful Loki, I could kind of give or take, really. I don't know. Something about that variant just, I wasn't drawn to as much. I don't know. With certain accusations, or not accusations, but certain things that he said in the episode about himself, I just don't know if I fully believe it, which I guess is the point of Boastful Loki, but at least with the other 2, you actually get a clear sense of what their background is, at least for the most part. Like, you don't get the full background, but you get enough to be like, oh, well, I can kind of assume certain things about the character. But with Boastful Loki, I just don't really know. I liked him, but, you know, again, I could kind of give or take that character. Richard E. Grant was amazing in this episode. I mean, we had the 4 introduced at the end of episode 4 in the post-credits. But, yeah, overall, thought it was fun to see Tom Hiddleston's Loki interact with them. It was also cool to see President Loki, even though he did not last very long. I just kind of wish that we could have spent a little more time with these Loki variants rather than trying to go and fight Eliath, which I guess is a character from the comics. Never heard of him. But yeah, kind of just like a big cloud, pretty much. So not a great villain to fight against. Doesn't have any lines or anything like that. It's just a big cloud that kills people, essentially. Kind of like that villain in the Green Lantern movie with Ryan Reynolds, which I forget the name of that villain, but yeah, it's kind of on the same level, I feel like. Again, love Sylvie. She's great. She's becoming one of my favorites, even more so than Tom Hiddleston's Loki. Sophia DiMartino is just incredible in this series and adds so much to it. We also found out that Mobius isn't actually dead. He picks up Sylvie, and then Sylvie, Mobius, and Loki are reunited. Loki gives Mobius a hug, which is such an aw moment. But, yeah, I'm really wondering what the relationship between Loki and Sylvie are gonna, like, is gonna be going forward. If that they're gonna be in a romantic relationship, or if they're gonna be friends. I'm not sure. But, you know, I'm down either way, whichever way they want to go, as long as they keep them together. I really don't want either of them to die at the end of the series, because I love them both and would love to see more of them going forward. I really hope that they don't just, like, take these characters and have this one-off story and then just, like, don't use them again. I think they're going to come into play in Multiverse of Madness, but I'm not sure. And honestly, I just kind of want a happy ending for both of them, especially Mobius. Like, if I don't see him on a jet ski, I'm going to be a little pissed. But, yeah, he's always great. I love Owen Wilson in this series. He's killing it. Love the relationship between him and Loki. It's always a good time when he's on screen. But, yeah, what else can I say about this episode? I mean, there were a lot of Easter eggs immediately in that establishing shot of the void. I saw the Sanctum Sanctorum, Avengers Tower, which we saw in the post-credit scene of the last episode. I also saw Throg, which is the frog version of Thor. I also saw Thor's hammer. And I think that's it in terms of, like, visual Easter eggs that I caught on, or, like, that I found or saw, basically. But, yeah, I don't know. I think this episode just, it was so fast-paced to the point where it didn't really get to establish a whole lot with the characters that it introduced. And, also, classic Loki got killed off. He helped Sylvie and Loki defeat Eliath. But, yeah, I mean, Sylvie and Ravonna Renslayer almost teamed up. But I kind of figured that Ravonna... I didn't know Ravonna would be, like, in the dark about who is actually pulling the strings. I thought she would know. But apparently she doesn't. And, I don't know, she's a good villain overall. She's a good face to hate, I guess. Not that I, like, hate her face, but just, like, she's the face of the villainous side of this series right now, until, you know, the puppeteer essentially is revealed in episode 6, which I really think is gonna be Kang the Conqueror, but I could be completely wrong. It could be another character. It could be a variant of Loki, which I don't think it's going to be. But I forget what the other character that people are theorizing it'll be, like new rock stars. I forget what character they said it might be. But I'm really hoping for Kang. If it's not, fine. I'm cool with that. Just have it be a good reveal, you know? And I really don't want to have it spoiled too, so I'm probably going to be staying up super late to try and watch it as soon as it comes out. But, yeah, overall, this episode was action-packed. It was visually stunning, full of Easter eggs. Lots of great performances, especially from Richard E. Grant. You had Alligator Loki in there adding some comedic relief, even though this series is really filled with a lot of comedy. You just had some really funny moments with Alligator Loki. Such an unusual thing, but at the same time, it added to just the wackiness of all of this. So I just really enjoyed it. Again, not my favorite episode of the series so far, but I might do a ranking of all 6 episodes, maybe, possibly, after the last episode comes out. But yeah, overall, like, not the strongest episode for me, at least, in terms of just storytelling. I don't know, just something about it, it went by too fast to actually, like, establish certain things about these variants. President Loki, I thought we'd have a lot more of him, but that didn't last long at all. Trying to think of what else I can say. Want to fill up a little bit more time here, at least a minute or so. But, yeah. Pretty good episode. Lots of great reveals and just visual gags and all that kind of jazz. Again, really love Tom Hiddleston as Loki. Love Sophia DiMartino as Sylvie. She's easily becoming one of my favorite Marvel characters. I don't know. Something about her I just really love. But yeah, I guess I'll just wrap my review up here. This has been my episode 4, Loki, episode 5, Journey into Mystery. The Forever Purge is a 2021 film directed by Everardo Gout, hopefully I'm saying that right, written by James DeMonaco, and stars Ana de la Guerra as Adela, and Tenoch Huerta as Juan, hopefully I'm saying that right. You also have Josh Lucas playing a character called, if it'll load, Dylan Tucker. Levon Rambin is plays his sister in this. And then you have Cassidy Freeman as Emma Kate. Yeah, they don't have a name for Levon Rambin for whatever reason. But yeah, overall, I really enjoyed this film. I've only seen the first 2 Purge movies, so I haven't seen Purge Election Year or the first Purge, but I will probably end up watching those at some point. Maybe by the time this episode comes out, I would have watched them, and I'm going to do a ranking of those films as well as reviewing them. But yeah, having not seen the 2 movies in between, I don't think I'm missing out on a whole lot, but I really fucking enjoyed this movie. Yeah, I just thought the story was really interesting. The fact that, you know, The Purge originally was like 24 hours, I believe. And, yeah, you basically have this, or is it 12 hours? I can't remember. But obviously, it goes on seemingly forever. We didn't get to see the end of it. So I'm guessing it goes on for quite a while. But it seemed to hint at the fact that it's probably going to end at some point. So I don't really think it's the Forever Purge, but, you know, it's more than just the annual purge that lasts like 12 to 24 hours. So I liked a lot of the action in this film. I liked the cinematography. I thought was really good in a lot of parts. Yeah, just the action in general was definitely the best part, which I feel like it should be for a Purge film. I have to say, this is my favorite one that I've watched so far. I really liked the second one from what I remember. It's been a while since I've watched it, but I also think the first one's good. I just don't like that it takes place in the house and just, like, doesn't really go anywhere else other than that. I mean, you get some hints at the larger scale of it, but I feel like the second film and this film really show the scale of the Purge. Like, it's supposed to be countrywide, nationwide, and you know, we haven't really gotten that, or we didn't really get that with the first one a whole lot. I'm sure Election Year and the first Purge has plenty of, you know, showing the high stakes of the Purge going on everywhere, but with this one, I just felt it even more, and just felt the collapse of the government and just stability and just martial law and all that. Like, it got fucking crazy in this movie, and some of the kills were really interesting and just fucking creative. And when it comes to the political statements that this movie is trying to make, it's not too preachy. It doesn't go over the top, in the sense that, like, Captain Marvel did, which the only reason I'm thinking of that is because I watched Holden Hardman's reaction to Captain Marvel with his girlfriend, which I highly recommend you check out his channel if you haven't watched it, but he's a great guy. Yeah, with Captain Marvel, it's just like, yeah, it's supposed to be somewhat of a female empowerment film, and there's a line in there where it's just like, you do know why they call it cockpit, right? And it just seems so fucking forced. It's like, who the fuck talks like that? Like, I get it's the 90s, but still, who the fuck talks like that? But, I mean, I guess somebody has talked like that before. I don't know. But it doesn't try to be too preachy with the political undertones that it's coming, or they're trying to have come across here with, you know, immigration and just like race in general. So I thought it was really well done in terms of the political statement, in terms of the action, and just the way it was made. The story was really good as well, like I said before. So yeah, not a whole lot to say. Really like the characters in this film, especially, Josh Lucas as Dylan Tucker, as well as Tinoch Huerta as Juan, and Ana de la Reguera, there you go, and Levin Ramon. I don't know, I just like pretty much all the main characters in this. I thought they were all really cool and badass, for the most part, but not really Emma Kate's character, because, slight spoiler here, her character's pregnant, so that kind of like raises the stakes a little bit, at least on, you know, trying to keep her alive. But yeah, Ana de la Reguera, or Reguera, hopefully I'm saying that right, she is really standing out to me as being a really good actress. You may or may not remember she was in Army of the Dead as Maria Cruz. She's also been in Narcos, Goliath, Power on Stars, so not a whole lot that, like, I really recognize. You know, looks like she was on Blacklist 2, Book of Life, Cowboys and Aliens. So she's been in a bit, but nothing, like, groundbreaking, I would say. I really didn't enjoy Army of the Dead that much. But yeah, overall, I'm really enjoying everything I've seen her in so far, so I would definitely recommend you guys check this out for her alone. I think her performance was really great. But just for all the performances in this and the story overall, just it had me on the edge of my seat. So I really enjoyed the fuck out of this movie, and I think you will too. As long as you enjoyed at least the second Purge movie, then this one will be right up your alley. But even if you haven't really watched them, I don't think it's the most important thing for you to go back and watch those other ones. Like, I think you can kind of watch this one on its own and get the idea. I mean, most people at this point kind of know what the Purge means. Like, we've all kind of heard about it. And if you haven't, then, you know, oh well. But, yeah, I feel like even if you haven't seen these movies, you kind of know what it's about. So, this one just kind of flips the script a little bit in terms of having it last more than 12 hours, which I believe it's 12 hours that it usually lasts. But yeah, really well-made film. Kept me on the edge of my seat, and I would highly recommend it. I'd probably give it like a 7.5 out of 10. Not my favorite movie I've ever seen, but it's also really good. Just like in terms of, you know, again, keeping you on the edge of your seat. For me, like, I didn't know what was going to happen, so I was really excited to find out. But it was a tad bit predictable, and I don't think it's the best, like, kind of thriller slash
horror slash action movie I've ever seen. I've seen better, but I've also seen way worse. So, yeah, 7.5 out of 10 seems fair to me. You know, it didn't blow me away. It's not something I'm going to rewatch a million times, but I could see myself rewatching it maybe once or twice at most. But still, not to say it's bad. So there's my review for 2021's The Forever Purge.
The Tomorrow War is a 2021 Amazon Prime original film starring Chris Pratt as Dan Forrester, Yvonne Strahovski as Colonel Murray Foster, J.K. Simmons as James Foster, Betty Gilpin as Emmy Foster, Sam Richardson as Charlie, Jesmyn Matthews as Lieutenant Hart, Edwin Hodge as Dorian, and I would say that's pretty much the main cast for you. It's directed by Chris McKay, who directed the Lego Batman movie, as well as he directed, or not directed, he edited the Lego movie. Oh, let's see if he directed anything else. Co-directed Robot Chicken, executive producer on the Lego Movie 2, producer on the Lego Ninjago movie. So yeah, there you go. And it's written by Zach Dean, who I don't really recognize anything that he's done. But basically, I'll give you the synopsis real quick. The world is stunned when a group of time travelers arrive from the year 2051 to deliver an urgent message. 30 years in the future, mankind is losing a global war against a deadly alien species. The only hope for survival is for soldiers and civilians from the present to be transported to the future to join the fight. I'm not going to have a whole lot to say on this movie because I really have to say this is just really, aside from the premise, the execution of this movie was just really generic and kind of clumsy to me. I thought the CGI and just the special effects and the action were really good, but it didn't quite have enough substance to me. I've heard from other people that they really enjoy this, and I've heard from, you know, another group of people that they don't like it at all. The build-up was nice, but the execution overall just, it really flopped for me. I think Chris Pratt is a great leading man, as always. I really like him in any movie I see him in. But, again, just the execution was clumsy. It was a generic action movie. And the only thing it really had going for it, for me at least, was the premise. I don't know. I would, however, like to see this in video game form. I think this would work very well as a video game. I heard there's plans to make a sequel to this, and I'll probably end up watching it just because I watched this one and I like to review new things, but can't say I'm really looking forward to it. J.K. Simmons was pretty good in the film. He wasn't in it a whole lot, but, you know, same with Betty Gilpin. I think she's a great actress. Loved her in The Hunt. Just kind of disappointing. I didn't have high expectations for it, but I didn't think it would stoop as low as it did for me. Why is this Edwin Hodge? Oh, yeah, Edwin Hodge is in a bunch of the Purge movies. That's why I recognize him. Sam Richardson, you know, I haven't watched a whole lot of stuff that he's in. I guess he played Gary in MODOK, which is, that's awesome. That character is hilarious. I mean, he's a good comedic actor, but with this, he was just kind of annoying to me. I don't know. Again, really don't have a whole lot to say about this movie. This one was a flop for me. I would definitely not watch it again, and would probably give it like a 4 out of 10. I didn't hate it, but I also didn't really enjoy it, and it didn't keep my interest. I had to watch this over the course of like 3 days, and I don't know. I just really did not enjoy this movie. I knew I wouldn't really like it, but I had no idea how much I wouldn't like it. No shade to the people that made it or the people that like it, but I just think this was a really generic and kind of clumsily is that a word? Clumsily? Just a really clumsy script. I think a lot of the dialogue was kind of generic and just not really, I don't know, it kind of sounded stupid and like things people really wouldn't say. Again, not knocking the people that like this or the people that made this, but I've seen so many better action movies, seen so many better action sci-fi movies. I've seen so many better time travel movies, and I've seen Chris Pratt in a lot better too. And with the amount of actors they have in here that are like A-list, at least in my mind, they really screwed the pooch with this one. And I'm sure there's probably going to be a lot of people that agree with me and a lot of people that don't agree with me. But for me, this is just a really forgettable action movie. Nothing I'd ever want to watch again. Nothing I would really recommend to anybody. I mean, I have people in my life that would probably enjoy it, so maybe I'll recommend it to them. But overall, just the execution of this film was not there for me. It had a lot of good aspects to it, but the bad definitely outweighed the good for me, at least with this. So there's my review for the Amazon Prime original, Amazon Prime Video original film, The Tomorrow War. Hope you guys enjoyed that episode. Again, a lot shorter of an episode than I usually post, but I just got back from vacation, so I wasn't trying to watch a million things on my vacation and wasn't trying to cram a bunch of things once I got home. So there's going to be a little bit longer of an episode in the next episode for sure, because I'm going to be reviewing like Space Jam, A New Legacy, probably that new Escape Room movie, and we'll see what else. I'm not sure, but I'm guessing there's going to be more than that. So, yeah, thank you guys for listening. I'm on Facebook and Instagram @Pop Culture Podcast. That is all I got for you today, and I'll see you in the next one.